tonight as we come to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 to 37 in the New International Translation of the Bible. I want to look at three things about the Good Samaritan. First of all, I want to speak about the parable's context. And then secondly, I want to speak about the parable's content. And then thirdly, I want to speak about the parable's conclusion. Now, as we look at this parable tonight of the Good Samaritan, it's a very familiar story. All of you have read many times throughout the years, and that word parable, it's a story. It has a point. It has an earthly lesson, but it will have a punchline to it. It's a story that will compare something unfamiliar with that which is familiar. One day, an expert in the religious law of Jesus' day stood up to test Jesus. He asked him a question. And notice, if you will, in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice Jesus' response. "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" Now notice what this expert in the law is going to answer in verse 27. He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now Jesus responds in verse 28. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." Verse 29 says, "But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus," notice this next question, "and who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite." Now notice both of those, the Levite and the priest, are of the religious crowd. "A Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'" Now, notice what Jesus says in verse 36. "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Now, with all parables, the key to understanding the meaning behind the parable is to look at it in its context. It's never more true than in this parable before you and me this evening. It would be really easy just to read the parable, to read the story, and then think, this teaching is about a good person, a good neighbor. But you see, that really is not the correct interpretation or the correct assumption there. I believe the parable is telling you and me about having a right understanding about what is necessary to have a relationship with God, which begins with God, loving God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. You see, to love God with all your heart is to trust Him by faith with all of your life. And that results then in this loving your neighbor in the same manner that God loves them. So let's look at the parable's context. It's very simple here. This expert in the law, he approaches Jesus one day with a question. Now, his intent is pretty obvious. We think that perhaps maybe he's just wanting to trap Jesus in this doctrinal misstep. And of course, it backfires on him. So let's look at the context here. The expert in the Jewish law, he comes to Jesus with a very important question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, whether he's sincere or whether he's just trying to put Jesus in a position to make him stumble, or whether this situation becomes debatable, that the expert in the law is really, truly, genuinely concerned, and so he wants to ask the question, or is he just asking to put Jesus in a position where he will make Jesus stumble? But he asks what's the most important question that anyone can ever ask in all of life. And that question is this: what must I do to have eternal life? What is it that I need to do to be right with God? And this is what the parable is truly all about: how to know that you have eternal life with God. It's not just about the neighbor there given in this earthly story with a spiritual punchline. So the guy asked Jesus the question, but notice Jesus responded from the man's question, and Jesus asked him a question. We would call that the Socratic method, or Socrates would of someone that would ask a question and he would answer him back with a question. Jesus basically says to him, well, why don't you tell me? And the man quotes then from the book of Deuteronomy, the law of Moses, in Deuteronomy 6 and 5, and in the book of Leviticus 19 and 18, he says to have eternal life, one must love God with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love the neighbor as themselves. And Jesus replies, you've answered correctly. And if he would have just left it there, but then we would have missed the message that Jesus intended. For the Bible says that this expert in the law, he wants to justify his thoughts about others. And so then he asked that question that revealed, so then who is my neighbor? I don't know if you see it here, but it's huge right there in this exchange of words, in this lesson, God doesn't want you and me to miss. The question reveals that while the man could recite from the book of Deuteronomy and from the book of Leviticus, he could recite the correct answer. He didn't have a correct understanding, though, of what those words meant. How horrifying it is to think that we can know the correct answer but miss the whole important point of the parable. We can recite words, but do we really, truly often know what we're reciting? Remember, Jesus is ultimately concerned about this man's spiritual condition. He knows that this man has come to him to ask this question, and this man has a wrong perspective. He can read off the right answer, but he has a wrong interpretation of what truth is. So his response, Jesus's response to this man, was to draw his understanding to the truth. And so Jesus launches out into this parable and he confronts the man's faulty understanding and to help him see the correct interpretation. Now here's the punchline. The man asks, who is my neighbor? And Jesus, changing the focus, the question in who is my neighbor, the question is this: because of your faith, because of your faith, what kind of neighbor are you? You see, the point of this parable is, yes, there's someone in the ditch. Yes, there are two religious people come by. They ignore the situation and move on down the road. And then a Samaritan comes by and tries to take care of the man. And so then this Jewish leader, he gives the right answer from the Old Testament, but he sorely has missed the whole purpose of what Jesus is trying to say. And Jesus is trying to get him to focus on who is my neighbor. You see, the question is this: because of the faith that you have, then what kind of neighbor are you? What kind of neighbor will you be? So we see the context of the parable. Let's look at the content. So a man's on a journey. He's traveling a dangerous road. He's beaten. He's robbed. Two religious men walk past him. They refuse to help him. And then an outcast, which is a Samaritan. Remember, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. This Samaritan comes along and he helps the man. He tends to his wounds. He takes him to a place of safety. And then Jesus says to the one that's steeped in the religious law, the man asking the question, Jesus says, which one of those three? Which one of those three is his neighbor? Keith, it reminded me of the story you told in the deacons meeting this morning about how you reached out and helped someone that you saw here in town walking down the street, and the conversation that you had with them, and trying to help take care of a need in that person's life. I thought about that as I thought about this sermon for this evening. And so Jesus says to the Jewish teacher, which one of those three is the neighbor? Jesus offers a story. It's relevant to the context of the day. You see, that 17-mile road that they were on plunged 3,300 feet from Jerusalem and to Jericho. It was called the Way of Blood. And the reason it was called that is because there were lots of people who traveled on that road. It was rugged. It was barren. It was a lonely stretch of miles. The terrain was favored by robbers and thugs that were out there. It was a very hazardous road. You see, the Jericho road was especially threatening. Any of y'all ever remember the old Stamp Baxter song on the Jericho Road? So Jesus told the story here. It's drawn from real life, and the audience understood the scenario all too well because of that dangerous stretch of land. But Jesus's focus wasn't on the man so much who was beaten and robbed, but on the other characters in the story, because his focus is on the authenticity of faith. In this story, it wasn't so much on the empathetic feelings, but the object of your faith, and what do you do with your faith, and how do you treat your neighbor, and what do you do with your neighbor, and who is the one that's your neighbor? Let's look at these that Jesus looked at, the robbers. If we're honest this evening, there are some bad people in the world tonight. Would you agree with that? If not, you wouldn't go home and set your alarm systems. You wouldn't lock your doors, would you? Somebody was sharing a story with me just yesterday, and they were reminiscing over past years, back when people didn't lock their doors. Church doors were left unlocked. Any of y'all remember that, those days when the church building was unlocked? When you left your windows up at night, maybe you had a screen on them, maybe you didn't. The June bugs flew in and out, and they came to visit you in the nighttime. Mosquitoes and all of those kinds of things. But you see, there are a lot of mean people in the world tonight. They don't care about anyone. They don't care who they hurt. They will use, they will abuse, they will accuse anyone in order to satisfy their own needs and their own greeds. We've seen that in past days on the television, on the newscast, how the people go into stores and break the windows and take the merchandise right in the presence of people and not one fear whatsoever, and many of those things, not one thing was done about it. We've all encountered some form of self-indulgent people in communities and in companies and in families. And possibly, you know, we might even look in the mirror sometime to realize, are we a user? Are we an abuser? Are we an accuser? Well, that's the robbery crowd. Let's look at the religious crowd before you take out your disregard for those in the story that were so heavenly minded that they passed by on the other side and were of no earthly good. Let me remind each one of us that this group is the most reflective of the church and Christians today. Have you ever noticed in the 21st century that you and I are scrutinized at every turn of the road as a Christian? As a church, well, you wouldn't help me. Well, you know, I came to you for such and such. I can assure you there are abusers out there that use agencies all over our cities. They use churches all over our county for their own good. They're out there. I can assure you of that. Maybe this religious group, maybe the priest, maybe the Levite, maybe they thought they were too good. Maybe they thought they were too important to stop. But in all likelihood, they were just simply too busy and they were pressed for time. Let me ask you a question. How busy are you? Are you too busy to help meet the need of somebody out there? The simple truth is if we're too busy or too good to help someone that's in need, then something's wrong, I believe, with our relationship with God. It's either non-existent or our relationship with God is out of sync. I've always said this. If your vertical relationship with God is correct, if it's right, if it's focused and the perspective of it is all about Him, and you're in a right relationship with Him, the horizontal relationship of your neighbor out there, whoever it is, will be right also. You see, the point of the story is, yes, it's an earthly story, yes, but it teaches a heavenly truth. There's a spiritual truth to this. Your faith. What does your faith really mean to you in relation to this story? Were you just empathetic of the person that was there in the ditch? Or is it, do you see so much more beyond the empathy of that person in the ditch? Because if your faith in your relationship with God is what it ought to be, then obviously the person in the ditch is somebody you're not too busy to reach out and help. You're not too busy to be a passerby. Well, there's the religious crowd. For whatever reason, the priest and the Levite, they passed on down the road, whether they thought they were too good or it was beyond them or they're in a hurry. And I can assure you in the 21st century that you and I live in tonight, people are watching the church more than ever before. People are watching Christians more than ever before. People are looking at something that they can sink their teeth in and say, "See, I told you so." And unfortunately, there have been many in ministry that have abused and used the system for their own ends, for their own means, and for their own goods. And we can look at that. And on television recently, there have been some spoofs on some of these charlatans out there that have used and abused the church. And we see why people are disenfranchised. We see why people are disillusioned with Christians or with churches because they see some of these things. Well, that's two groups, the robbers out there that are out to use people, the religious crowd. Are they there for the right reasons, for the right purposes? Is the object of their empathy a faith that shines through to reach out and to help? Well, what about another group? Let's look at the receivers. When you reflect upon this innkeeper, I think we find a person he was willing to help out in the situation, but did he have some strings attached? We don't receive any indication from the story that the innkeeper picked up the bill without the idea of maybe profiting from the situation. Yes, he did help, but was it because the innkeeper knew that he was going to be repaid for whatever services he had rendered. You see, there are a number of people who will help if it helps themselves. They will help, but they've got strings attached. Well, we've got three groups of people there: the robbers, the bandits, the users, the abusers, the religious crowd that doesn't practice what they preach. And then we've got the innkeeper. Sure, he took care of the guy, but he was guaranteed whatever he spent that this Good Samaritan would come back and pay for all the services that had been rendered. So therefore, the innkeeper realized that, hey, I'm going to be compensated for whatever I do, so I'm not really out any expense at all. Let's look at the responsive. Obviously, the Samaritan represents what genuine faith looks like when we have a right vertical relationship with God. We're a people of compassion. We're a people of grace, ready and willing to meet people at their point of need in Jesus' name with no strings attached. I'm often amazed at the many needs there are, even in this present community, in this city where you and I live. Of course, there will be people that will use and abuse the system, but there are also people out there that truly, truly need help. Well, we see the parable's context, we see the parable's content, but I want you to look at the conclusion here of this parable. The real question was never about who is your neighbor, although Jesus does render that question in the parable to the expert in the Jewish law. But instead, what Jesus was trying to point out is, what kind of neighbor are you? What kind of neighbor will you be? Does your neighborly ways, does it reflect the kind of faith that you're trying to show to the world out there? You see, it's the genuineness, it's the intimacy of our relationship with God that determines the reality of our earthly relationships. It's so easy to read this parable, to look at the story and tie it up with a nice ribbon and a bow on it and miss the entire point. Jesus already knew the answer. Jesus already knew the questions before the questions were ever thrown his way. But Jesus wanted to take an earthly story of somebody out there in life that had fell by the wayside in a ditch. And he wanted to show the different ones that came by. And he really wanted to say, what kind of neighbor truly are you? From the faith that you propose and for the faith that you try to share with the world out there, does your faith match who your neighbor is? Would you stand as we pray together?